Hi, I'm Todd Nathanson.
And I'm Lena Morgan.
This is Song Versus Song. Lena, I think today's going to be a good day.
You think we're about to regulate?
I do. So mount up. We are doing It Was a Good Day by Ice Cube versus Regulate by Warren G featuring Nate Dogg. Or more accurately, Nate Dogg featuring Warren G. Or more accurately, by Nate Dogg. Actually, I think it's Warren G and Nate Dogg officially.
But they also reference the 213, do they not?
Yeah. All you skirts know what's up with 213.
Which is the larger narrative, the larger group, which included also Mr. Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Yes. The
who at this point did not need to get a jobby job because he had it. he had a really good jobby job.
Oh, this is maybe two. I think two of the best West Coast rap songs ever made, better than anything Dre or Snoop ever did. There's a decent shot. I mean, like we're talking two of the best songs ever made.
We can get into it. I do want to say also, you're welcome to everybody who's listening to this fresh, because this is your break from the Taylor Swift discourse.
I don't think the discourse is going to last very long in that one, but
I agree. I don't want to lose any more followers than I already have over this. But, you know, I'm accustomed to like the Taylor Swift hate, like the Reputation era hate style thing. Mm-hmm. I think this is going to be a fizzle. I think this thing is just going to fizzle out. Like, and I don't actually know that that's a thing that I'm accustomed to in the discourse, where people talk about it for like a second and then it just kind of fades because there's just other stuff going on.
Yes. For example, a podcast about two completely different songs.
That's right. Anyway, now we can talk about that.
A lot of these I've been holding on to forever. This one we are doing immediately the second I came up with it. Like, because if I had thought of this first, it would have been the first episode we did probably.
Oh, I don't see. I remember this differently. That's not what happened. The reality is that we did another episode with our friend, deputy editor at Billboard Magazine, Andrew Unterberger. We did Nothing But a G-Thang versus Gangsta's Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought up the Ice Cube song. And I believe somewhere around that time you said that we would do another episode and that episode would be It Was a Good Day versus Regulate. So this thing's been percolating for a little while. In fact, you liar.
Really? I thought I just came up with it like last week.
Nope.
Oh, well, that's a bummer. That's a disappointing end of my story. I swear to God, it seemed like the best episode in the world last week. I was like, we got to do it. We got to do it immediately because it came up for some other reason. But this is a fun one because I have absolutely no idea who's going to win. This could be this is a very no wrong answers episode.
Oh, I'm gonna lose, Todd. I guarantee you, because I have an opinion. That can be added into the echelons of what the fuck is wrong with you opinions that I have on this show.
Well, I mean, I know you have feelings about Ice Cube.
I do, but I don't think that that's really I don't think there's really a lot to say. I mean,
he's gone crazy. He's crazy.
Yes, there's a lot that we could say. I would say this. Even in this era, even around
G-funk era,
even the G-funk era,
mixed
even
up with
like
a gangsta twist.
Yes, even the 90 to 92 era. Let us say that the allegations of anti-Semitism, Cube was not beating them then. He's not beating them now. I think that the less said about it, the better. But yes, suffice it to say that I am focusing primarily on the art and not so much the artist, because, you know, it was a lot of anti-Semitism and half measures, unless you definitely believe that him and his friends beat the shit out of a rabbi, which is possible. But there's no official information on it. It's just a story that's out there. But yeah, I think once you start posting the memes that he started posting in the middle of a pandemic, that was kind of the breaking point for me. But fortunately, we're not talking about 2020 era Ice Cube. We are talking about 92 era Ice Cube, where most of his anti-Semitism seemed focused on his hatred of his former NWA manager. Which, you know what? I can live with.
Yes, as seen in the movie Straight Out of Compton. Straight out. Did I just say Straight Out of Compton?
Straight out of your Compton. Anyway, all right.
Which one are you taking? Because I feel like we could probably, whichever ones we pick, we could probably switch sides and still argue.
Probably. I'm definitely going to take It Was a Good Day, though. I feel very confident about it.
I feel very confident for Regulate. I feel that's part of my soul. God, that's such a good fucking song. But once again, we are dealing with two roughly equivalent songs from two wildly uneven artists. Ice Cube is like the guy. Like, there's a reason he has gotten away with so much in his life. It's because he is so good at what he does and so important. And we're dealing with, on the other end, Warren G. Name a second Warren G song.
You know I can't. I mean, we can go to Spotify and name some.
I can name one.
And also Nate Dogg, R.I.P.
I mean, like, this is a real Green Hornet featuring Bruce Lee team up here. Like, the sidekick is doing all the work.
Yeah. Yes, but you picked it. You picked Regulate.
Oh, yeah. I love Regulate so much. It is just deep in my soul. I didn't... every time I keep forgetting by Michael McDonald comes on the R&B station, I get disappointed when I realize it's the real song and not the one that sampled it.
Yes, I think that's a factor. All right, I'm going to say something to you. You're not going to like it. I hadn't listened to Regulate in a really long time.
Oh, boy. I already don't like it, but go on.
I did. When I re-listened to it, I remembered a thing that I felt when I first heard the song when I was probably like 14, 15 years old, and my opinion has not changed. I really like Regulate. It is a deeply cheesy song.
You know what? I don't think I'm going to argue with that.
It's just kind of corny. Like, I don't hate it. I'm not fighting the popularity of the song. However, the thing that really made it click, and I sent it to you as we were preparing for this over the course of the last couple of weeks, is that Facebook Reel, the Facebook Reels, the thing that never have any value whatsoever, somehow churned out this woman who is a mom and is middle-aged saying, like, here's a video of me doing Regulate as my child is deeply
dies of embarrassment. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, man. But no, this is exactly the right energy for Regulate. You've got it. Like, 10 out of 10, no notes. That's totally what Regulate's energy feels like to me. Fun, a little cringy in this corny way.
I mean, the fact that I feel so strongly about it is not evidence against that, let's say. Like, I have absolutely been this mom. Wrapping it from front to back.
And I would not, I'm not going to make fun of anybody for doing it. I might do it. It's just that if we're sitting down, if we're getting to the brass tacks of the situation, I look at It Was a Good Day. I consider Predator, the album that song is off of, and the preceding two full-length LPs that Cube did in the aftermath of leaving NWA. And I think... these are deep, rich, complex, important albums. And then there's Regulate. And that's really it, is that It Was a Good Day is, you know, is not the most important song of Cube's career as far as the thing that was maybe the most socially prescient. But it certainly was very important in that it was so successful. yeah, but I'm not sure I would call it the Are We There Yet of Ice Cube songs.
No, we're, you know, gangsters have good days too.
Which was the point. That was right. The point of the song. That's sort of the, anyway, talk about Regulate a little bit, because I will do the thing that I always do. If you don't stop me.
What? Talk?
That's right.
I don't know. That's the whole reason I got you as my podcast partner. So that I didn't have to talk, that you would do all the work. Regulate combines Nate Dogg with Casey Shimazko from Young Guns. And that is just like the coolest team up you can think of, really. Somewhere in there, Warren G is there also. But I don't know, like you kind of stunned me with this whole Regulate is cheesy thing. I don't know how to answer that. I was like, is that even wrong? What makes you say it's cheesy? Not just the rapping mom, like you had that reaction in 1994. I can tell you this. If you go to YouTube right now and look up the video for Regulate, the thumbnail is Warren G looking distressed. Like you can look at it right now. It says, you know, he's like, it's the I can't believe they're taking Warren's wealth look on his face.
Yes. Well, it's I'm trying to find like the most succinct way of describing what makes it cheesy without getting into other points I want to make.
I feel like Nate Dogg himself is kind of cheesy in that kind of like classic 70s soul man kind of way, in the same way that Barry White is cool, but Barry White is also kind of cheesy.
I guess it's just that this particular song feels like, you know, all that stuff that Andy Samberg did with Justin Timberlake for a while.
Yes.
They're all just from this. They're all just doing this. Like, I think it's the, I got a car full of girls and it's going real swell. The next up
is the East Side
Motor. It's so goofy. I'm sorry. It's just the corniest way anyone has ever been like, I'm getting laid tonight.
I'm switching my mind back into freak mode.
He's at the East Side Motel. Wow.
I don't know.
Oh, he's switching his mind back into freak mode.
He surely is. I think it's just that, you know, to be succinct, too late. Regulate is a song about these two guys who get jacked.
No, it's about one guy who gets jacked and another guy who bails him out
and regulates. But here's the thing. Ice Cube doesn't get jacked at all. Didn't even get jacked.
No, because it's a good day.
Takes another sip from the potion, hits the three-wheel motion. Like
he says very, very clearly that he does not have to use his AK today.
Yeah. No.
Well, I mean, like, you're not
going to get... Nobody died in South Central L.A. Today was a good day. Look, here's the thing. It's that whole song, the entire utility of It Was a Good Day is, you know, is that today seems kind of odd. It's atypical. This man is so used to things going sideways.
Often that, does have to use his AK.
Yes. That he had to write a whole song about how exceptional it was to not have to use the AK. That he just goes out. The cops don't bother him. Doesn't get jacked. None of those things happen. No, but none of his friends dies.
His mom cooks him breakfast, and then he kisses on a nice lady that he's liked since high school.
It's a good day.
Ice Cube is what, like 3-4 albums in at this point?
As a solo artist, yeah, and that's not including his time with NWA. And I think it's very important to keep in mind that NWA ain't shit without Cube.
Boy, they sure aren't.
Dre is a good producer, but let's acknowledge that obviously the strongest lyricist of NWA is Ice Cube. It is the reason why he was so immediately successful, despite struggles he was dealing with professionally as an artist. You know, he just Eazy-E is not going to be able to compare. Dre,
well, I don't know if Eazy-E ever wrote a lyric, really.
No, I'm sure. I mean, I guess I don't know. I wasn't there, but. You could tell in the aftermath. That's a Dre reference. But you could tell what a strong lyricist Cube is, and how much people gravitate towards him and how influential he could be.
Yeah, I took a listen to The Predator right before we started recording, and I was like, God damn. Like I said, there is a reason why Ice Cube gets away with so much and he still gets cast in kids' movies and stuff.
I think it's very important to keep in mind, too, that... The Predator, in many ways, his most popular album were The People. But at the time, America's Most Wanted and Death Certificate, the previous two records, were considered by critics to be far superior.
Yeah, I do remember reading that. Like, this is...
this was supposed to be the step down.
Yeah, it was it's an amazing record. It's very good. And it has his like two biggest pop hits, I guess. This one and Chickity Check Yourself Before You Wreck Yourself.
Now,
I did not listen to Regulate G-Funk Era before I recorded this. I was just not curious.
It's okay.
I don't know. Like Warren G, like he did himself a disservice by putting himself on the wrong end of that jacking in this song. I have no idea why he did that. Like maybe he
humble.
I
mean, he's humble.
He's humble. No, Nate Dogg's humble. Dogg's like, you know, Nate Dogg and Warren G had to regulate. Warren G didn't do shit. Nate did all the regulating.
Yeah, I mean, Cube doesn't really cop to anything, and it was a good day. Like, he's good at basketball. He has a he scores himself a triple-double, and then also...
He fucks, he drinks,
he parties. Fucks, he drinks. He succeeds also at Domino's, you know, and Check Yourself. I will say, very important to note, this is not the song we're talking about, but Check Yourself Before You Wreck Yourself. Because bad dicks up your ass is bad for your health. Disagree. Ice Cube.
It was folks,
spoken like a man who's never had a dick up his ass.
It was 93. Like you had to. It could have been bad for your health if you weren't. You know.
Yes, that's. I mean, God damn it, Todd. listen, I think it's again the thing about Ice Cube, and it's so weird because I'm taking such a strong stance, so pro Cube here. He also was dreadfully homophobic. So much of his diss track, so many times when he was coming after the other members of NWA, it was a lot of like they was wearing ladies' clothes,
right,
and hung out with Jews. So by all accounts, seems like an artist I would hate. And yet, this song is so good.
Yeah, he's a master. And I guess there's really nothing you can point at to regulate that you can be like, this is problematic. Like, it is a very smooth ride.
It is. I mean, it's certainly, yeah. If you can make a kid's bop about one of these, it's Regulate. And Regulate includes them going to the East Side Motel. It's still, you could be going to an East Side Motel for any reason.
I could not think of Nate Dogg as just not the coolest guy in the universe listening to that song. And it is like not shocking to me at all that he became like, it's weird that he never really had his own stuff. He was the hook singer for a billion other people, but not his own, never his own, you know, never the lead artist. Like whatever jokes I want to add, you know, aim at Warren G. They hand off to each other so well. There is no other song that is like structured like Regulate.
Except for Dick in a Box.
No, the rapper and the singer like trading lines like that. That is trading verses like that. It is, there really is nothing like Regulate. Not a thing. Although I guess there's not really anything like It Was a Good Day either. But like I can imagine like It Was a Good Day too, or like someone else trying to do what It Was a Good Day did, writing about their own good day. It wouldn't be as good, but I can see it. No one's ever going to write another Regulate.
Yeah, I'll tell you. There's a comment on the YouTube page for the music video. It is a fictional give and take between a girlfriend and her partner. and it's the girlfriend says, "Tell me a story." And the partner's like, "Nah." And the girlfriend says, "Please." Partner goes, "It was a clear black night."
I have done this song at karaoke with a.
The with thing David. Is that, like, that's so. That there's something about that open. "It was a clear black night." Like, there's something that is simultaneously so cool and so corny at the same time. that is the charm of Regulate.
It really is. It even has, like, the cheesy yacht rock sample, the whistling. Young Guns.
I think that this is the other big thing, right? Is that you brought up Michael McDonald. I keep forgetting every time you're near. which is the song that they sample on Regulate.
Right.
But I want to throw a little love to the Isley Brothers Footsteps in the Dark parts 1 and 2,
right,
which is the sample for It Was a Good Day, because that track is great. And like you had said, you'd be disappointed if you heard the Michael McDonald song on like an oldies station. If just Footsteps in the Dark played, I would be fine. I would be perfectly satisfied to listen to Footsteps in the Dark. That's a good track.
For the record, I keep forgetting all the time on R&B radio, and it is a great song. It's a great song.
It's okay. It's okay. Would you say that it's better than Footsteps in the Dark?
Let me refresh myself. Footstep.
Yes.
I don't know. Like,
you can refresh yourself before. Sorry. No, that wasn't a good one.
It was. I'm giving that one to you.
Okay.
Okay. I just skipped to like the 30-second mark for Isley Brothers Footsteps in the Dark. I'm listening for 10 seconds, and yes, this song is amazing. I remember
it's very,
now.
It's very good. I think if I say nothing else of value in this episode, very possible. Footsteps in the Dark, parts 1 and 2, is worth your time. A very good track all on its own.
Yeah, I mean, that era, late 70s, 80s, Isley's basically invented this entire era of 90s G-funk.
Yeah.
They, as did every classic soul artist of the late 70s and 80s. But this is that is an amazing sample. I don't believe this was a hit.
I don't know that it was, but oftentimes that's what would happen. You know, a lot of these folks would pull the deep cuts because they were fans. You know what I mean? People who came up with the samples were the people that you would want to make a mixtape for you. But yeah, so I think that a big part of the success, you know, I can talk also liberally about the importance of the Predator as a record and the preceding records too, because they are speaking to the violence of the time and particularly West Coast violence. And then, you know, the Predator, which very specifically is dealing with post Rodney King, which is why I think probably around the mid 2010s, there were a lot of think pieces about that particular record and how influential it still is. And I think people were interviewing Ice about it and being like, hey, Cube, like, what do you think about this? And he was like, boy, I wish we could leave this album in the past. But I understand why it is that people would look back on it and say this is still relatable.
Both of these songs are about being cool, people who have good days. And I guess you wouldn't really call It Was a Good Day cheesy.
It
feels very serious. You can, even though he's having just a great day, he's winning at dominoes and shit. Like, there is like darkness in every corner of that.
And also very pointedly, in the music video at the end of that very good day.
Yeah.
He goes home and is completely surrounded by the cops. And that is a part one to Check Yourself, which is the part two, wherein he's in jail. These are two songs that are connected by music video.
Yeah, and Ice Cube, I read a quote from him saying that he was like, he was in a weird place because, like, on the one hand, he's, you know, seeing all this stuff happening on the news and he's getting angry and angry about it, just like, you know, the previous two albums. But also, at this point, he's a superstar. And, you know, he's on top of the world. And he's like, I'm writing all this angry stuff, but I was like, also, my life is good. My life is really good. And I feel like I need to write about that.
Yeah, I think it was I've read similar quotes that basically was like, you know, I keep writing about this one end of the experience of my life, but I also have good days. You know, he does in the song say that today seems kind of odd, but if you read the actual interviews and the topic, it's really more that he just had never really, what was odd is that he'd never written a song like that before.
Yeah.
I don't think it was actually supernaturally weird for him to have a decent day. He just hadn't covered it before. It's interesting that you brought up how on top of the world he was, because it was kind of
this was right after Boys in the Hood. So he was also, his movie career was really starting to take off.
It's interesting that the journey that he took to get there, though, because, you know, I mean, The Predator is is once he's, you know, fully in control and not dealing with a lot of stuff. But when he first went solo, you know, America's Most Wanted was supposed to be produced by Dre. And then because of the legality of the situation, that could not happen. And as it happens, that was produced by the Bomb Squad, who, if you know who they are, the thing that they're primarily known for producing is
Public Enemy.
Yeah. Public Enemy. And it was because Cuba got over to New York at the time and had been interacting with people and had done a track with Public Enemy. And it just kind of shook out that he wound up working with East Coast people, despite the whole East Coast, West Coast thing, which is just another interesting element of his career, that he had actually bridged the gap on his first record out. That he had done, he was a West Coast rapper who had done what was in some ways kind of an East Coast record, as far as the recording at least was concerned, which I think is kind of cool. It's kind of fascinating.
Yeah, I hear a lot of Cypress Hill on that record.
Absolutely.
Who were brand new at the time. I don't think they had released Insane in the Brain yet, but I hear a lot of that on there. I think the thing with both these songs is that they're both fantasies.
They for both sure. Feel,
like, you did not wake up in 1992 in L.A. and there was no smog.
No.
That didn't.
Yeah, you know what? Mom always looks to breakfast with hog. That's just... See, this is the thing. I'm sure that...
You can just not eat it.
I'm sure that you could make Regulate jokes all day. The thing is that the ultimate reason why I picked It Was a Good Day is because it's the one whose lyrics are the... like, they're just so memorable. I think that both of those are storyteller songs. But I just... the storytelling on It Was a Good Day to me is second to none. Some of the best storytelling in any rap song, period.
I think I would give Regulate a slight edge there, because this is a... I really like the way they hand off each other's lines. And you got two perspectives here. You never have that.
I think that's a fair point. I don't... I like it as a duo.
Right.
That is the strength of the song.
Yeah, the one other Warren G song I know is also a Nate Dogg duet. He goes, nobody does it better. No one knows that one. Like, all of Warren G's stuff besides Regulate has gotten flushed down the memory hole. But that one's really good. Just, you know, because it has Nate Dogg on it. It's no Regulate. It's just Regulate Part 2. But
I have a question for you. And right. Perhaps we'll revisit this side of things later. But do you have favorite lyrics from Regulate?
Oh, it's like trying to choose between my children.
But this is you know, we almost never talk in excessive detail about lyrics, but these are songs where they feel like such a huge part of what makes the songs great is the wordplay.
I think it is the exact moment where Warren G glances in the cut and he sees his homie Nate.
Oh, yeah. Like,
he sounds so satisfied. He's like, it's just a great, I don't know if it's a great lyric, but it's a great storytelling moment. Because you can hear him, like, first he's like, damn, what's next? He sounds down. And then, like, oh, shit's about to happen now. And it's like the turning point of the song, and it feels great. That is my favorite part of Regulate. And, like, Nate Dogg dispatches them immediately.
It's like, yes, it's wild.
It's two lines back to fucking, back to getting our Mac on.
Yeah. So the part you're talking about is, they got guns to my head. I think I'm going down. I can't believe it's happening in my own town. Yeah. A little corny, but we'll give it to him.
Yeah.
If I had wings, I would fly. Let me contemplate. I glanced in the cut and I see my homie Nate.
Ooh,
it is good. Yes. 16 in the clip. And one hole, Nate Dogg is about to make some bodies turn cold. That's the line.
Yes.
That's the best line of the whole thing. I'm trying to think if there's a single thing in Cube's whole spiel that beats that. They got guns to... Wait, 16 in the clip and one in the hole, Nate Dogg is about to make some bodies turn cold. It's so good. It's so well done.
Now they dropping and yelling, it's a tad bit late.
Although that's kind of the, Ice Cube had sort of had a group that was around him, and
West Side Connection,
the Lynch Mob.
Oh, the Lynch Mob. Yeah, West Side Connection's later.
The
Lynch Mob.
And he had this guy, Shorty, who, amongst other things, was kind of the conscience of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sort of known, I think, you know, there's a documentary about him, about the late, great Shorty, where he kind of talks about how he was like cruising down the street and two guys on a bicycle. Was it a tandem bike? I couldn't say. Yeah. Basically said like, hey, you're going to die. And they were just talking shit. And Shorty was like, well, you don't talk shit to me. And then he just showed up. He went and found his friend. They got in the car and he pulled his gun out from the back seat. And the look of surprise on their face, because they didn't think there were going to be consequences to their actions. And I think that as much as Cube has been very clear that the fantasy of his records is such that, you know, it's supposed to be a place for you to go listen, live out the fantasy of getting revenge and then not going out on the streets and committing those crimes. You know, that's a thing he said. And I'm sure that to some extent that's true. I think also important to keep in mind that he did have people in his posse that did absolutely fucking murder people. Like, pretty sure that happened. Where was I going with that? It probably would have related to lyrics. Like the lyrics from Regulate.
Well, you know, Ice Cube did not have to use his AK that day.
He didn't. The thing is that
go on.
Were you going to ask me what the best lyric is? And
yeah.
So here's the thing. There's so many things that you can point to, and yet you know that for me, I remember being a kid and absolutely loving this stupid line. And I love it as much now as I did when I was 12 years old. And it is, of course, "Even saw the lights of the Goodyear blimp, and it read Ice Cube's a pimp."
That did happen. That actually happened.
The way...
That's not a fantasy.
The way, to be clear, that I would just get off of my seat and jump around like a lunatic just at that part and scream it as a child is... The only thing more ridiculous than that is that at 44 years of age, I still do that. It hits so well. It's so absolutely silly. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like, it's hard for me to pick a single moment in that song because it all flows so well that every single thing really does it for me. Like, I'm flipping through the lyrics.
For me, it's always been the Lakers beat the Supersonics.
Oh yeah, that's a good bit.
I don't know, just because he's just like piling on good details of his life, and it's just like, and also my team won.
Yeah,
it's just like a beautiful cherry on top of a great day.
Yeah, I guess the best bit for me, just as far as something hitting really well, was that he's doing all the stuff about how like they're playing, they're like rolling dice, and then he's yelling domino, and like all that stuff is like really simple fun goofing around shit, and then he immediately cuts to, plus nobody I know got killed in South Central LA today. Yeah. Was a good day. It's the juxtaposition of I was so busy like just messing around that it did not even occur to me that not a single friend of mine died today.
Yeah.
Today was a good day. That's such incredible stuff.
And it's not no one died. It's no one I know died.
Yeah. And he's so accustomed to it, or, you know, he's sort of, you know, I mean, again, there's fantasy is maybe the wrong word, but you know, he's dealing in an overall narrative, a universal experience, but it's a really hard hitting line. That's the thing that makes the song great. It's why I'll pick it over Regulate anytime, is because the fact that he's making a big deal about how all of these basic things make that day exceptionally good, and that so many of the things are not good things that happen, but the absence of these absolutely horrific things that you're like, wow, this song is fucked up, but incredible. Like, it's that's bleak.
Yeah.
No, nobody should have to be like, wow, what a great day. None of my friends were shot by the cops. And that's, you know, that's what made it great in 92. That's what makes it still unfortunately relevant now. Anyway, yes, that's that and Ice Cube's a Pimp. These are the two best parts of the song.
I wonder if the Goodyear blimp ever did that, because I would do that. I don't know if Ice Cube has ever been uncontroversial enough to do that, but if I were the Goodyear blimp, I would do that at some point.
Well, I don't want to blow up your spot, but look out the window.
How did you know?
It's better than Christmas morning, isn't it?
Yes.
It red. Yo, Todd's a pimp.
All right. Wait. I looked it up. No. It says he did get on the Goodyear blimp in 1993, but it did not ever read that he was a pimp.
Well, you know, it doesn't actually require the Goodyear blimp to say it for it to be true. Although very clearly, once again, you know, he said that disparaging thing about a dick in the ass. And I just want to say, if you're safe about it, Ice Cube, worth it. Do you have anything else historically you want to talk about?
Before we
move on into what may be one of the shorter episodes we've done?
Let's keep going. Let's roll. I feel good about this.
Okay. We're going to do four questions. These four questions take the things that we talked about and hopefully make a kind of a sense, an internalized logic, if you will. The first question is a question of history. One of these songs is going to stick around. The other one's going to disappear. Like Kaiser Soze, like it was never there. For the culture, Todd, which one has to stay? This is not easy.
No, it really isn't. I think, actually it might be. I think this is Ice Cube's. It's very close, but I feel like Ice Cube definitely has this.
I think that this is one of those things where it depends on what aspect of history we're waiting. Because if you take Regulate away, well, then these poor two men who have this track that is so quintessentially important and central to their careers, that's lost. That song is fun. Middle-aged people want to embarrass their kids at the Wendy's. Don't take that away from them, Todd.
Yeah, I like if.
Isn't that quintessential too?
Yeah, I mean,
no, I think it's got a good. I think, you know, naturally, my inclination is to give all of these to Cube, but yes, yeah, I think that because of the historical relevance of the song, that it was sort of remarking on what it means to have a good day despite the terribleness of the world around you. I think that it's a song that is really. If you take it away, then most of what you get is just Angry Cube. And I think you need the flip. It's important to his career. I think it's important to that era of music. And I think it remains important today. So, yeah, I mean, to me, it's easy.
Yeah, but I didn't realize that you were like, without Regulate, would you have Nate Dogg at all? Would you have, the next episode and 21 questions and area codes?
This is the complexity of the situation.
That is hard, but like I feel like Ice Cube's career, which is much more important, has such a gaping hole in it without It Was a Good Day.
Yeah, like I said, I think it's one of the most capital I important songs, not just for him, but I think just like that entire decade of rap. Like, where is that decade without that song? You know?
Wait! I just realized Nate Dogg's first song was Ain't No Fun. Off of Doggy Style. That was his first song. And that one is certainly much more problematic than Regulate. Your white mom is not going to be rapping that one.
No, well, unless you've got a really specific kind of white mom.
But the fact that it was not technically the first Nate Dogg hit, I think that cinches it.
Okay. All right. Well, then question number two. You can experience Soup to Nuts, the entire creation, including the music video of one and only one of these two songs. This is going to Regulate, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, I would want to.
Because there's stories. We didn't talk about that. We didn't talk about the fact that they recorded this in the closet.
Oh, I just want to be there when they regulate.
I don't. Here's the thing. I don't actually need to watch Ice Cube's Jimmy Run Deep so deep.
Put that ass deep to sleep.
You know, I will say, you know, Mr. Cube, you might think that's a big deal, but I put asses to sleep just by talking about Star Trek all the time. So there. Yeah, I don't know. I just think that Regulate, the music video is fun and cheesy and silly. But yeah, there is that story that that the song kind of come together pretty quickly, quick enough that the production happened inside of a closet, at least in part. Yep. And we talked about this when we were doing the Pixies and the Sonic Youth episode, where I said that, you know, every artist does like a song that they recorded in a bathroom.
Right.
And to me, the closet is the equivalent. You know, you've got your garage rock. This is your closet rap.
Yeah. Like if we're watching the music videos get made, there's a lot of basketball in both. See if Ice Cube and Tupac, which one's the better baller, I guess.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I don't know why. Ooh, that is not actually that important to me.
For the just in case it's not clear, Tupac is in the Regulate video because it's on the soundtrack to Above the Rim.
That's correct.
I think that's the only Tupac movie I haven't seen, because basketball movies tend to be bad.
I don't know what the IMDb Rotten Tomatoes, Letterboxd, etc. scores are, but. I was not particularly moved to look into it, put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, it's never listed, you know, at the top of the filmography of Tupac. It's always,
I mean,
Juice
I'm sure
first.
It's no Love and Basketball or Hoosiers.
I've never seen those. Have I seen any basketball movies? Jeez. I saw half of White Men Can't Jump on Cable once. That's about it. The second half. I have no idea how that movie begins.
Okay. Well,
and Space Jam and Space Jam 2, obviously.
Are we going to agree that Regulate is the correct answer to number two?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, great. Question number three. A huge question, massive question this week. Megan Thee Stallion going to get up to a night of hot girl shit. She's putting on a playlist to get ready for said night of hot girl shit. One and only one of these songs is going to go on that playlist, Todd. Now and forever. Which one of these songs is hot girl shit?
I mean, like, I feel like for all four questions, the answer is both. But if I have to, like, this one's going to be the hardest because these are both the hottest of hottest shits. I don't want to answer this. I want to call Megan and have her answer this one for me, because I don't feel confident I would be able to see it in her brain.
This is very specifically, you know, I mean, I don't wake up in the morning and go, gosh, I wish I was friends with a famous person. Mm. But you know what? I wish I was friends with Meg today. Today. Like, I would like to know straight from the horse's mouth what the deal is.
Like, I feel, okay, I'm going to say, because the question is worded a night of hot girl shit, I feel like Regulate is more of a nighttime song.
Mm.
It was a good day. Mm. If she was waking up in the morning to have a day of hot girl shit, that would be It Was a Good Day. That is a song you listen to in the morning, and Regulate is a song you listen to at night. That's my strong feelings about this.
I'm going to tell you, I think that's one of the most profound things that's ever been said in the history of this podcast. That's deep, so deep. It put me psychologically to sleep. All right. I don't know, man. I guess I can get behind that. I guess Regulate is the nighttime song.
Right.
All right. We're going to get with, wow. Okay. Regulate coming out ahead. Worth, final question. Most important question we asked on the show, and also the most important question in all of recorded human history. William Shatner, thespian, equestrian, singer. We're going to give it to him. He's going to do a William Shatner version of one, only one of these two songs. Todd, which one must be Shat?
Like I said, there are no wrong answers. There's just writer answers. But very clearly, the writer answer in this one is Ice Cube.
Oh, absolutely. do I really want to hear William Shatner say, and that Jimmy runs deep, so deep, so deep, put her ass to sleep? Yes, I do. The answer is yes.
It's a very, very obvious one, I think.
I agree. And I think that
it wouldn't even be dissonant, I feel like. Because William Shatner's always having a good day.
Yeah, well, I believe that I would see the lights of the Goodyear blimp and it would read Bill Shat's a pimp. You don't think?
Ice Cube is already kind of delivering it kind of like Shatner, honestly.
All right. I agree. So we're even, Steven. That means that it's going to take the listeners and their comments, which are always superior to ours, to break down the tie.
All right.
Todd, what do they have to say?
All right. Philip Fry writes, Robert De Niro at karaoke will forever live rent-free in my head, so got to go with It Was a Good Day. So that was the first comment we got, and I was like, oh, God, what are you talking about? And there is, in fact, a karaoke scene in the movie Dirty Grandpa.
Oh, no.
Where
not where I thought that was going to go.
Where Dirty Grandpa himself says, does It Was a Good Day. He gets to a line with the N-word in it. And he's like, can I say this? And his, granddaughter or whoever says no. But all the black people in the audience says, yeah, go for it. So he does.
Oh, I hate this so much.
Boy, I expected so much better from Dirty Grandpa.
Robert De Niro died?
He got the okay first.
That's a trap. If there's one thing that I can tell you categorically is that if an oppressed group tells you that it's okay to use a tool of the oppression of that people,
it's a trick.
They are checking to see if you'll do it. It's a trap. And, you know, I mean, maybe I shouldn't tell you, because if you're going to fall into that trap, I guess you kind of deserve it. But yeah, don't do that. Don't do that. Anyway, it's a movie, but I still assume that he's dead.
I don't know. All I found was a 30-second clip of him carrying.
R.I.P. Yes. R.I.P. De Niro.
All right. Fly Winged Monkey writes, one of them has a Young Guns quote and one doesn't. As a man of a certain age, I cannot vote against a Young Guns quote. I think by the right age, I mean, like, there is a 2-month period where you were born where the Young Guns would matter that much to you.
Well, also, and we haven't done this in a while, Young Guns 2 matters a lot to you if you're from New Jersey.
Oh, right, because Bon Jovi is on there, right.
Yes, on a steel horse they ride because they're wanted, dead or alive.
No, it's Blaze of Glory is Young Guns 2.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Shot down in a blaze of glory.
Thank you for Jersey splaining.
All right. MJS writes, how the hell does Ice Cube know he got a triple double? Who?
I saw that comment. That was good.
Who is keeping track of assists and rebounds in a casual pickup game? Maybe he doesn't have to count them specifically. He just knows.
Yeah, he just plays a lot of b-ball outside of the school.
Yeah, I have to assume he got like 40 points, 40 rebounds, like 40 assists. All right. Stu the Shoe writes, back when Facebook used to require the format of X is ... for status updates, I added X is about to make some bodies turn cold. So I think you know where my allegiances lie.
Again, it's the best lyric in that song.
Yes. Right. Laura Robinson writes, from now on, I'll be asking myself every episode which song I'd rather have Michael McDonald sing. That would be a good alternate Shatner question.
That is pretty good.
Michael McDonald, you can cover Regulate in concert. You're allowed.
Are you giving him permission?
Yes, I'm giving him permission.
Is the N-word in that song? I can't remember.
I probably once or twice, yeah.
Yeah, don't do that song, man.
All right. Maxine writes, honestly, both these songs fuck and have always fucked, so I'm less concerned with that and more with making it clear that the last two questions have a correct answer. Regulate is hot girl shit, and It Was a Good Day needs to be Shatnered. I will not be taking questions.
I believe that we have reached an accord.
Yes.
Thank you for being our third vote.
I mean, it's unanimous, so.
Yeah, if we needed it, but we didn't. But thank you.
Yes. All right. T. Ryder writes, it was not a good day when Warren G. was president. Ice Cube all day. Someone has very strong opinions about the Warren G. Harding administration for some reason.
Well,
he is considered.
If you don't, are you paying attention?
He is considered one of our worst presidents.
That's true.
Yep. Cheeseburger 666 writes, my third party vote goes to Damn It Feels Good to Be a Gangsta. If these two
over these two songs, I don't think so.
If one of these two songs didn't exist, that would also be an excellent matchup against either of them, I feel like. But it would lose easily.
Yes.
I mean, that's the Office Space soundtrack. That's the soundtrack to Office Space that made lamer by association.
I think it's really important to keep in mind that Ice Cube would never have to worry about his stapler being stolen. Wouldn't happen to that man.
Right. Right. Paul Anderson writes, Warren G. does us a lasting service by enabling us to enjoy Michael McDonald without having to listen to him. We need the same for Barry Gibb. Someone coming up hard against Michael McDonald and the Bee Gees.
Ben Barry Gibb?
Yeah. Well, if you want the work of Barry Gibb without Barry Gibb in it, I feel like the Fugees have that covered. They covered a lot of his stuff. Ghetto Superstars, Barry Gibb.
Yeah,
Wyclef had a whole Stayin' Alive song.
Yep, those things are true. I just want to reiterate, I can't even imagine thinking about Ice Cube stapler.
He would, you would not take a stapler.
Not even his desk.
Rhiannon Alwyn writes, I'm voting Ice Cube purely because of that bit at the end of the video where the cops turn up and he looks so inconvenienced. I was like, yeah, that is the correct word for his look on his face. Like, it's like, oh, man, whatever. He just goes back inside. Giassel writes, I vote for Ice Cube's mom for respecting her son's decision to convert to Islam. Eid Mubarak. I hope I pronounced that right.
I
don't know how many Muslims viewers we have, but
I don't know how much I respect Cube's love of Farrakhan, but but listen, as far as respecting a diet, absolutely.
Yes, he has dietary restrictions and his mother understands.
That's right. No, cook the breakfast with no hog is another line that I have always liked from that song.
All right. Griffin writes, you'll never convince me the reason Warren G had trouble getting another hit after Regulate didn't have anything to do with his name. A rapper named Warren is the equivalent of a female pop star named Agnes. I think
Esther.
There is a pop star named Esther, or at least she was trying to be. Esther Dean from Pitch Perfect.
How's it working out?
I didn't go well for her, I don't think.
Well, there you go, you see.
Yes. Michael Murphy writes, Regulate is clearly superior for karaoke, especially if you, like me, just hog the mic and do the voices of Warren G, Nate Dogg, and Michael McDonald yourself.
That's fair. Completely fair.
I've only done it as a karaoke duet. I had Dayron in town, so we did Regulate.
Oh my gosh.
He made me be Warren G, which
that's what you deserve.
All right. Michael Murphy also writes, I'm just wondering though, if the rhythm is the bass and the bass is the treble, what became of the rhythm and what is the treble now? And where does the mid range go? This is so confusing.
I don't know. Is this the rhythm of the night?
I don't know. Which rhythm of the night?
All night.
Da, 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 the rhythm of the night. All right.
Oh, that's right. Do some Rhythm of the Night episodes.
Yeah, Rhythm of the Night versus Rhythm of the Night. All right. Dad Rock writes, Fall 1996, wrote a parody of Regulate about our high school chemistry teacher. Just hit the east side with Mr. B on a mission trying to find a little KFC. Thanks for the memory.
I like it.
Yes. Also, this is not disproving your thesis that Regulate is cheesy.
Yes. Well, this is like when I did Time of Your Life, Good Riddance, but it was about watching Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That was mine in high school. That was my dumb parody.
I wrote so many that I don't remember now, but I wrote so goddamn many. All right. One last one. Nia Ravel writes, I don't know why, but Regulate as a threat is so funny to me. And then Richard Engel adds, They're going to make people have daily bowel movements.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Oh,
that's terrible. All right. What are the results? Jesus Christ.
All right. We have talked and talked and talked, and I legitimately have no idea who's going to win. I am pulling up the answers right now.
Pulling up the receipts.
Yeah.
This I know. I have no way. Idea. I couldn't have possibly guessed. Like, I would like to skip the part where you say, who do you think won? Because I genuinely do not know.
All right. For a total of 386 to 356. That's a 52-48 split.
This is my favorite kind.
As it turns out, Nate Dogg and Warren G have to regulate.
Wow. Not
so good a day for Ice Cube. But
I'm blown away. Let me ask you a genuine question. How much of that do you think is the result of the fact that in the 2020s, Ice Cube came out as a hardcore anti-Semite? How much do you think that played into here? Any? Some? No, a lot?
0%, honestly.
Really? All right. I mean, I don't have an answer for it. I could tell you that it was, I had to ask myself, do I still really want to rep Cube?
Yeah. I remember
given the memes he was posting and the stuff he was saying during the pandemic, it was pretty rough. It was a tough time for me because I am a fan of this particular record and especially this song. But
yeah, I mean, right. I remember we went to see that new Ninja Turtles movie.
We and did, and I was so disappointed to hear. I was like, why do I know that voice? Oh, it's Ice Cube. Seth Rogen really said, yes, let's have Ice Cube in this Ninja Turtles movie.
I don't know, like, you saw how hard Kanye had to push before he got a single consequence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, Ice Cube is, you know, I think everyone's just like, well, you know, he's an old man now. What are we going to do? There's the real dirty grandpa.
All right.
All right. Well, that was our podcast. I'm glad you joined us for that. But if you would like to join us for more, you can go to our Patreon, where we will talk about whatever you vote on. Every month, we vote on a movie. This month, we are going to be doing Tar, which means that we have to sit down, and in my case, rewatch it. Lena, in your case, finish it.
Yes, because I fell asleep. Watching Tar. Here we go. Tar the retarning.
For the record, I think you'll like the back half of that movie quite a bit. But we'll see. We have so many other ones. We have watched everything. We've watched Labyrinth. We've watched the Pitch Perfect trilogy. We have watched Camp Rock because you say this made us do that.
Yeah, that was fucked up. What's wrong with you?
We have so much more. So please, 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 please give us money. It's just
give us a dollar. It only costs a dollar to get every single back episode. Are we the kinds of people that would deny you the back catalog because you only paid a dollar? No, we're good people who give things away basically for free. And I need surgery.
Yes.
Give us money. Feel guilty. Feel shame that you haven't already given us money, you jerks.
Yeah, that's you can afford it. You're good.
Yeah.
You're good for it.
Notoriously in 2024 when everyone's so flush. No, if you can, we would both be very grateful. And if you can't, that is okay. You can just listen to the regular episodes and have our thanks. And give us 5-star ratings on iTunes or Spotify or wherever.
All right. Are you ready for the next episode?
Yeah, what is it?
I mean, you should be because I already told you earlier. But it is Brown Eyed Girl versus Happy Together.
Brown Eyed Girl by Van Morrison.
Yes. Another notorious crank.
And Happy Together by the Tweedles.
By the Turtles. Yet another very unbalanced episode, artist-wise.
Looking forward song-wise, to it.
We'll see. I am curious to see how this one shakes out.
Yeah, well, my dad said you haven't done 60s in a while. And so,
yes,
for here Lena's we are dad, doing a 60s this
is,
song.
This is one for him.
Yeah, enjoy it. And also everybody else can enjoy it, too, if you like. Some fun boomer talk.
All right. See you around. Everyone knows these songs still, right?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Guess we'll find out. See you next time.
Bye.